when we go to the store and see if they got some type of bulk stuff, but I'm sure they are out of it.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Welcome to the Recreation Committee meeting, Tuesday, August 4th, 8 o'clock a.m. Let's see here. Unfortunately, Mr. Rambo was not able to make it today, so it'll be just me and GM will navigate it today. All right, item number one is the call to order, which we've already done. Item number two is approval of the minutes.
So moved.
All right, second, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Item number three is the public comments. Anybody in the audience want to get up and say anything for a few minutes? We'll give you an opportunity. It looks like no takers, so we'll move on. Item number four is review and possible action regarding memorandum of agreement, the MOA with the College of Charleston pertaining to the town hall track renovation project. And Steve, I'll defer to you.
Okay, good morning. We are preparing for the track project just across the parking lot over here in Town Hall. And we have partnered, or we're looking to partner with College of Charleston in that project. And I've given you is a memorandum of agreement for your approval to go forth with working with them, in which they would provide for some upgrades to the project and pay for some upgrades in exchange for some use of the facility. I'll just go over a few portions of the agreement that you may be interested in, starting there with number one, that they will upgrade the track surface from a 200 level to a 300 level. It's just a better surface. It's a better running track surface, more durable and a higher quality surface. And cover the cost of some design expenses and some other features that they are adding to the project. The expenses shall be reimbursed to the town no later than 30 days from the date of invoice for the actual costs submitted. There are costs that are estimated that are in Exhibit A. Exhibit A is at the back of the agreement. That's about approximately $128,000. That is the estimated cost once we have the work completed and we have invoices and we're able to give them actual cost for that. They will reimburse the town for the actual cost. In exchange for the upgrades that they would be paying for, they would get scheduled use of the facility. And you'll notice that there's quite a number of hours and quite a bit of time they're getting in exchange for it, but the times are non-exclusive times. The town can still use it. We can still use our facility as we need to. They will be there September, October, November, and December, basically September through June of each year for 2 hours a day that they can use the facility. But the times are during times when we don't need to use it. There's no programs, there's nothing scheduled along those lines, and it is, again, non-exclusive time. So they get a two-hour segment sometime between 6:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. They will notify us of which 2 hours they would like to use, and they would be allotted that time to be able to use the facility. And I also want to point out, this is for practices only. This isn't something where they're holding meets or holding events or anything like that. This is for the team to come out and practice and have something in close proximity to the college where they can come across the bridge and come over here and use the facility, and it really would have no negative impact on our program whatsoever. Down on the bottom of page one, the college does request a 1 2-hour segment to be free from scheduled use of the town. That means we wouldn't schedule a football game or a lacrosse game or something like that during that time period, but the times in which they are using it aren't times when it would interfere with us and where we would want to schedule anything like that.
Steve, is that the line that says the college requests that the town refrain from scheduling prospect aged individuals' use?
No, that is actually something different. Prospect age use is they don't want to do anything that has an appearance of impropriety where they are recruiting or something like that, where we're having somebody that would be a prospect out there and having them participating in a track event while the college is there participating, practicing. So it doesn't look like they're recruiting them or anything like that. It's for their NCAA protection.
Oh, okay.
And again, we wouldn't be doing that anyway. All of our track activities, as you know, are at the Park West track,
right?
And we would be out there. So.
Okay.
So would we need a recommendation to full council that we go move forward with this MOA? Is that what staff is asking for?
That is correct.
All right, so moved.
All right, second. Any discussion, anything further you want to tell us? I think this is great. You know me, I love partnering up with the schools. We partner up with Charleston County, Oceanside, and now we're partnering up with the college. I think it's fantastic, and I think that when we partner like this, we all win, you know. So I know we partner up some with the Citadel as well, so I think this is great.
I will mention that we do have Amy Seago over here. She's the track coach from the College of Charleston. She just was here if you had any questions regarding that. But
would you like to say anything?
I just appreciate the opportunity.
You come up with the microphone here so we can get you on record. Just your name and you know, address where you work.
Okay. My name is Amy Seago, and I work at the College of Charleston. I have been there for 17 years, and we do not have a track facility of our own, so I appreciate this opportunity and think that this would be a great partnership. I will point out, I think we did have in there that it was two-hour segments that we're able to do. Just to clarify
and that. And one of them is free from, right.
Yeah, one would be scheduled. And, you know, we're used to, we currently go to Charleston Southern every day for practice, and so this would be quite a bit closer, and it would have a lot, it would help us a good bit in that we're just right across from Patriots Point. We could have access to our athletic trainers who are over there, and so it would be very beneficial to the college for sure.
Well, you know, a little history, Erica, I don't know if you were here back then when we first started talking about a track. We looked at partnering with you guys for the track over there, and then the soccer folks weighed in and wanted to hang me from the closest limb, and then we decided to build it out there, but they said that was too far, so they started sending y'all out to Charleston Southern. I was going to Charleston Southern, Mount Pleasant, you know. So anyhow, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, so we got a motion and a second. Any discussion, any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Steve. All right, item number five is discussion and possible action regarding Memorial Waterfront Park Phase 3 improvements. I will defer to whoever wants to take that one.
I got that. Okay. I can take it, or? Unless you wanted to intro it with something, okay, all right. As you know, we are moving into phase 3 of Waterfront Park, there's been several things that have been mentioned over the course of years and over the course of the development of this project, of options that could go over there. I wanted to kind of give you a little brief background on this and where we are right now, so you can recommend, you know, which options we would like to go forward with in the future. First of all, in 2017, we had a design work done by JLA, and JLA did work. I promise you, I will not go through all 28 slides that are part of this design work, but it's a full detailed slide design work done by JLA, primarily dealing with the overflow parking. It shows on here. It's hard to read, but it's overflow parking up in the top. Right-hand corner is a playground area. In the far left-hand area is kind of a shade structure and little misting tent area, cooling station as it's called on there. And the rest of it is just generally landscaped, a sidewalk going around, a walking path going around the parking lot, and overflow parking. It's just some pictures of the shade type structures and the playground that would be over there at the facility. Then in 2019, we had some design work done. Now this was nothing more than conceptual. This did not get further than pretty much this slide right here, where we had a conceptual look at how it would look to add in a dog park into the area and a splash pad. So the dog park and splash pad are shown in here, with the dog park is the long linear green area, generally under the bridge area, and the splash pad is just adjacent to it on the left-hand side. Again, there's no details on that or cost estimates or anything along those lines. It was just kind of showing conceptually where something like this could fit into the park if we chose to do so. Then just last year, I believe last fall, we had a proposal that was given to us, and there's several other options that were considered for the area, including the dog park and a splash area. But some of them, I'll go through this. There's a fitness zone, a calisthenic park area. This shows a fitness zone type of thing, and where you can do calisthenics. There's a conceptual little bench. I kind of thought the bench looked nice. It's with incorporating the bridge design into there again. There's exercise areas and a dog park underneath the bridge. Just kind of showing conceptually how it could fit into the area. There's a fitness area where group exercise classes and that sort of thing could be held. Basketball courts, again under the bridge, provided a lit covered area, could be a very popular thing over there in that area.
Basketball / pickleball, right?
That's correct. On here it's shown as basketball, but you're absolutely right. It would be anything, any court like that we did, it'd be very easy to adjust for that and paint pickleball lines on there to make it a location where they could play pickleball as well. Just a little close up here on the dog park workout area, some more on the calisthenics park area, and then a splash pad location. So I went through those fairly quickly, but I just wanted to kind of go over where we stand with the park. Phase two, the portions of phase two that were completed are shown there on the left-hand side with the expansion of the toddler playground and electrical upgrades. There's been upgrades to security cameras and Wi-Fi and shade structure benches that kind of overlook the marsh area, very pretty over there. They've replaced pier lighting, replaced and relocated dedication bricks that are in the area, and then the new signage that is in the area. Portions of phase two that were not completed include the pier expansion, as we all know, renovation of the gift shop, a new restaurant, and overflow parking. So for phase three, I took the portions of phase two that I think are still on the table. I mean, any one of those could still be. I'm under the impression that the pier expansion is off the table at this point. But I have the overflow parking, the new restaurant, the renovation of the gift shop, and then all the things that we talked about, a playground, a dog park, a splash pad, a misting tent or cooling shelter area, the fitness and exercise areas, basketball courts. I should have written pickleball on there, but pickleball would be included in that. And of course, the first responders monument that we just talked about last month. So those are kind of the options of things that we can pursue as we move forward with the design of the area. And I just wanted to know which ones of these areas, and at least that's why I'm asking the question, is which areas would you prioritize in us moving forward in that area?
Mr. Sanders.
Okay, Jim.
So I think given the times that we're living in, any sort of indoor renovation or money put towards indoor things would to me seem not something that we should focus on. I think that, you know, with we have great weather here, we need to be outdoors more, and I think that a new restaurants these days, I think, like I read a New York Times article or, you know, Atlantic article, something like 60% of restaurants are going out of business just because nobody's indoor dining anymore. So I don't think that us putting a restaurant there and then having to farm that out to and lease that and deal with that. And the same thing with the gift shop. Like the gift shop is a cute little gift shop with little trinkets, but I don't think that we need to expend additional dollars to renovate and put a restaurant upstairs, and that's a huge expense as well. I think focusing on the parking, I think you know, one thing, the dog park that Mr. Santos had talked about seems to be not a huge expense. I know the splash pad's a little bit more, but depending on how you do it, the way that it was shown with sort of being flat with just water shooting up out of the ground could be a much more cost-effective way of doing it rather than building structures that are dumping water and those kinds of things. And I think that a splash pad would take care of the need for a misting shelter with a little playground, you know, that would provide a water area. I think that a fitness equipment exercise thing could be a small contained, you know, spot that could offer that equipment, almost like an adult playground. I just don't know. I don't know what the physical area that is available and what the limitations are. You know, I don't think that we could fit every single one of these things on there.
Right.
And I think that the first responder monument is a great idea. I would want to know the full expense of that, and would that take away from something? Because if the first responder monument is something we just look at versus something that the citizens can actually utilize, unless it was a seating area, maybe with a misting, I don't know. That's kind of my instinctive reaction to all of this, is I think focusing on the dog park, the splash pad, the fitness and equipment, and then the parking would be, because we would probably have more people coming if we had more of those offerings at the park.
Thank you very much. I agree with what you said about the restaurant and the gift shop. I don't have any issues with that. The dog park as well. I think that we agreed, Stephen, when we looked at that dog park, that was kind of a big dog park, and there's a way that we could shorten that, I think, and still have a really nice dog park for our citizens to be able to walk their dogs out there and let them be out there. Fitness equipment and fitness exercise area, they're already out there doing it now, as you've seen before. But, you know, they're doing it on the dirt. They're doing it and I think we're going to see a lot more of that, coming on out there, because it's a great place to exercise and then run the bridge, walk the bridge, bike the bridge, or whatever. More and more people coming out there. Whenever I go out there, I see more and more people out there. So certainly, I think the fitness and exercise area is big. The splash pad, I'd just like to know more about the splash pad, because I'm hearing about DHEC rules. If we have water to just passes through, that's one thing. But if the recirculated water, that's a whole other thing. And the cost of that, because I'm not quite sure what exactly we're looking at as far as how we're going to operate that. And not only that, but we're going to have, it's only going to probably be open not even half a year, because it's going to start getting cold in the fall. I'm not sure people will be out there in the fall, and certainly in the wintertime they're not going to be out there. So I'd like to see that information too, how long we think it'll be in operation. Are we going to circulate the water, or are we not? We're going to have free flow through water. I'm not really knowledgeable on that, so I'd like to see the options and the cost for those as well. First responders monument, I think that needs to be number one. we've already voted for it. We've already got a design for it and all that. And I think it's important that we recognize our first responders. And I'm not sure how much it costs, but it doesn't look like it should cost that much. But once again, you know, we'll have to defer to you, Eric, and about, you know, the financing and all. I know, I think we had, 7.3 for phase two. And now that we're not doing phase two, you know, that seems to be like we should have enough money to do these things that we need, because they don't seem to be very expensive items.
Yes, sir. Sizable. The budget is sizable now, and there should be sufficient money to do most, if not all, of the elements. If the pier expansion, if the renovation of the gift shop and the restaurant are off the table, those are the big ticket items.
Right.
You have just under $5 million remaining of TIF funds for the project, and you've got another $1.5 million made up of hospitality tax for recreation and accommodations tax. So the money's there. Whatever is finally decided upon and designed we'd have to get approval from DOT. We still don't own that property yet. All that would be subject to easement or ownership if they were agreeable to it. The plan right now for going forward, and Steve did a good job presenting what some of the elements were, was to get a feel from you which elements were of greatest priority. We're looking to have a capital projects meeting of all council late September, once we have a couple months worth of experience in as far as revenues for this fiscal year. And business license revenues will be in by that time. So it'll give us a good indicator. Got to know how much money to expect before you can finalize a capital plan. This will be included in that capital plan. So I've got enough information. I think we do at the staff level as to what to begin getting some rough cost estimates on. Just to reiterate, you're not interested at this time in the restaurant or the gift shop expansion area, correct?
I would put that at the bottom. I agree with the GM. I think I would put that at the bottom right now.
Okay. And we know we couldn't reach the pier.
Yeah.
Right.
Expansion.
And you know, the things that we we're looking at trying to put out there, for instance, the basketball court underneath, that could be used for multiple things, and DOT will still have access to the bridge.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking, is putting things around there where they still will have their access if they need it.
Okay.
In other words, if they have to drive a big truck on there for some reason to reach the bridge, they can do that.
Yeah.
So we got to be cognizant of that, because I'm sure they're going to want access to the bridge for some reason or another.
Right.
You know, any given time. Say with the dog park, you know, we put a double gate out there where you can open it up and they can actually drive into there if they need to do something. So I think we need to be mindful of what we put under those bridges in that area there, but try and get, like me and Steve were talking about, try and get as many things as we can get out of it. For instance, like I said, that basketball court could be used as a pickleball court. It could be used as a place where they can lay their mats down and do yoga. There's so many things that can be used there,
yeah,
but still allow DOT to get to the bridge. So anyhow, that's just my thought on it. We just got to try and get as many things as we can out of whatever we do there, you know?
Sure.
The other thing I was thinking with the splash pad as well is, you think of the pineapple fountain downtown and how iconic that is, and the kids use it as a splash pad. You know, it's not a technical splash pad, but it's sort of, so I think there could be an aesthetic element to the water coming up, to where even in the off months, it could be a sort of a water feature for the park, kind of like the fountain that is in deeper in the walkway and everything. So I know when I was running for office, there were a lot of I heard from a lot of moms about the lack of something on this side of town for real little ones, or in the summer, in the heat of the summer. And I'm sure if we we'll get a lot of feedback from young moms of the importance of having something for their, like a splash pad for their kids. But I agree that with Mr. Santos that we need to explore the expense of that compared to everything else. And I'm really strongly in favor of it. But if it becomes cost prohibitive, I understand that we are working with a limited budget.
Well, especially now that you can't hardly park on Isle of Palms at Sullivan's Island, that water feature might really come in handy for our citizens, at least for the kids. So, so do you know whether or not the Charleston, the one at the city of Charleston, whether that's like a pass-through with the water or recycled water?
I do not know. My guess is that it's a recycled water system. But
that's
not
technically a splash pad. That pineapple fountain is just a fountain. I don't think anybody's supposed to actually be in it. People just go in it. Well, I think we would want to do it right.
Okay.
The other one that a lot of children play in, that is right in front of the pier downtown, where there's kind of little pillars around it, and
yeah,
you shoot out to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that one is
that's what I'm
system.
Talking about.
I believe that is a filtered, circulated water system. Yeah.
That's down at their water park, right?
I mean, yes.
I think that's what I'm talking about, right down on Vendue Range.
Yeah, by Vendue, correct. It's very close to where the pineapple fountain is.
Let me ask you, doesn't PRC have a like a splash pad type thing over there at Charleston County Parks? Or I don't know if it's called a splash pad, but I used to take my kids over there when they were young. That was years ago, so I don't know what they have over there.
I can't remember the features that are there, but there's an entire water park that's over there.
Okay. I didn't know if it had like a splash pad.
Splash pads inside there or not.
But it costs to go in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know if they have a splash pad feature there or not. It's something we can look at and see what they're doing. I don't know whether it's recyclable or it's just a pass-through water. Okay. So y'all, you got enough on that one from us, Eric?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. So we go on to item number 6, discussion of possible action regarding recreation impact fees.
Marcy.
Would you click on the slide?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So at town council, you had asked for additional information on recreation impact fees. When this fee was developed, it was developed on the consumption-driven approach. And that means for every new resident coming in, the same level of recreation would continue to be available. So it only applies to residential, and so what happens during the calculation, it was determined that the level of recreation at the time was $933.64 per person. Currently, it's discounted that maximum amount by 20%, And that means for each single-family dwelling that comes in, there is a $2,031.60 impact fee. And for multifamily, these are still residential, not the commercial multifamily, it's $1,322.04. So annually, we get about $300,000. What we've done is we've developed a model that looks at what's available in the town all the way through, and we've kind of divided it up into five-year increments on what we anticipate. Any residential development that already has a agreement with the town, such as Carolina Park, they've already prepaid their fee, so we don't get additional. So we had to look at our model and recognize that there are houses that go in that do not have this cost and try to account for that over the time period. But we still estimate about $300,000 per year. If we were to change the discount rate from 20% and only discount the maximum amount 5%, we would generate about $57,000 more per year. Currently, in our five-year plan, we have these funds going to Carolina Park, the final funding there. Also, some beginning to fund Carolina Park Phase 4, some beginning to fund some of the Mount Pleasant Way, and then these also offset one of our GO bonds. So we spend about $100,000 a year of this funds to help offset the one, it was our 2010 GO bond that funded the purchase of Rifle Range Park.
Good. Thank you very much. Jan?
So this was sort of being driven, I believe, by Councilman Rambo, right? And Councilwoman Landing of shifting some of the burden of the impact fees and reducing them. I think that for me, the way I see it is the residences are kind of coming regardless of what this fee is and whether it's a 5% discount rate or a 20%, they're going to pay the fee. I don't think that it's going to impact the arrival of new residences. So I think it's interesting. If it generates more funding for our parks and for our recreation department, I think it's something that I support.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Okay. So do y'all need something from us? Recommendation?
Well, sir, that's a good question. The matter did fail at the council level, but it was sent to committee for review. If you are supportive of this and you could vote to support an increase to recreation impact fees, and that would ultimately arrive back.
So we would vote to approve the 5% discount?
Yes.
Okay.
And that would be taken separately, because what failed at council was a combination of recreation and transportation.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll keep them separate.
So keep them separate. Yeah. Do you want such a motion, Gary?
Absolutely.
All right. I move that we recommend to council that we change the discount rate to 5% for our recreation impact fee.
And keep it separate from the transportation fee.
By itself.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'll second that. All right, so we got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. All right, the next item was the discussion of possible action regarding the East Cooper Coastal Triathlon. For those of you who weren't here years ago, we used to have a triathlon that we partnered up with Isle of Palms, Sullivan's Island, in Charleston County Parks and Recreation. Actually, Charleston County Parks and Recreation was the one, I think, that was the most affected by it, because they let us use their park to park cars and to stage the bikes. The idea was that you would go down on the beach, you'd swim a half mile toward the pier, you'd come off, get on your bike, ride over the connector into Mount Pleasant, and you'd be riding over the pedestrian path, so you wouldn't be, you know, like stopping any roads there, over into Mount Pleasant, down Hungry Neck to Venning Road, back over the connector, down Sullivan's Island, you'd make the turn at the water tower, you'd come back to the park, you get off, and then you'd run over the connector, and we would finish at Town Center. We only had one road outside of Mount Pleasant where we had an officer, and that was at Isle of Palms where you're crossing over to get onto the connector from Charleston County Parks. And then we had, I think, two of our Mount Pleasant police officers, one at Hungry Neck, one at Rifle Range. So it's really minimal amount of requirements for any kind of security or anything like that. And I'm not even sure if we couldn't reduce it any more than that, but I think those were ones we felt like were critical, especially with all the traffic that we have now on the roads. So anyway, it went well. We did it for years. We had people coming from 8 different states. We made it such that it was friendly for everybody. In other words, one person could do all 3 aspects, you know, run, ride, and swim. Or you could have multi-gender, you know, girls and guys could team up. So you could do teams, and it was fun. Me and Coach O'Rourke and his wife, lovely wife, Jackie, we did it together. Tom did the running, I did the riding, Jackie did the swimming, and it's fun. It gives people a chance to get out and do exercise and participate in something like that without having to do the whole thing. So I just wanted to bring it back up because nowadays we're looking for more reasons to get outside and exercise more outside and do some more things. We're talking about the half marathon. That's something else we're looking at doing out there at Park West, but I just wanted to bring it up and see if there's any issues in us looking into it. I haven't talked to Isle of Palms about it yet. I did speak to Mayor Carroll and told him I was thinking about doing it. But PRC would be the big one. I think we'd have to get with them and see if they would let us do it again. We have somebody that would run it for us. Paul King has ran it for us every other time that we did it. And I ran into him and he agreed to do it again. So, you know, we minimal staff. I think he's got his people who run it, but I just want to throw the idea out there to see if it's something that we might want to look at trying to do again. I know the South Carolina Recreation Parks Association encouraged municipalities to try and work together on some things, recreation initiatives. They didn't say what. And then I went to that meeting, and that's what made me think about it. You know, we'll have 3 municipalities working together on something like this, and it was right up the alley of what SCARPA was wanting to do. So it just fit well into what their vision was for recreation in the municipalities, just working together. So anyhow, that's what made me even think about it to start with. When I came out of that meeting, I was trying to think of what could we do to partner up with our surrounding municipalities, and the triathlon came to mind. So there'd be nothing on Solomon's Island, absolutely no road closings or anything like that. They didn't even have an officer out there. So that was easy for them. And as I said, Isle of Palms just had that one right there at the main road where the connector comes over. And then we had something, you know, a couple in Mount Pleasant. But other than that, you know, they stay on the pedestrian bike path, the walking and running path. And so there's nothing that affects the actual connector. So I just wanted to throw it out there for this discussion and see if it's something that we think we might want to look into to do it, because I don't think it cost us a lot of money. I don't remember. This was back in early 2000s when we did this. But I don't see it costing a lot of money. But I do see a lot of people now, you know, wanting to get out and exercise, wanting to do more things. You can clearly, we can socially distance it because we can do it in waves if we have to. So it'd be easy to do like we did our track just recently. But I wanted to bring it out there and just see if there's any concerns or if something that we can look into and maybe come back at our next meeting with some information after speaking with PRC and Isle of Palms. And I can go over there and get, you know, maybe get on their recreation committee agenda and speak to them about it and see what they think. And so I just want to throw it out there. If staff has any concerns, if you think I'm crazy, you can tell me that. Jim?
I think it's a great idea. I think especially given the time that we're in, an opportunity to collaborate with our neighboring municipalities would be a positive thing. Because there's a lot of tension right now. I think anything that gets people outdoors, I would be concerned a little bit about the social distancing just because, you know, things like the bridge run have been canceled and marathons have been canceled because everyone sort of corralled together at the start of the race. So I think it would, and then to put on the Councilman O'Rourke hat for a second, I think this could be a revenue generator for the town rather than something that costs us money if we charge the appropriate fees to have it pay for itself. Yeah. And at least pay for itself rather than have it be something that requires outgoing dollars. But I think it'd be a good thing to explore. I I don't know whether it'd be possible to do in the time of COVID. I think that's something we would have to really look into, just given the numbers of people involved and the close proximity, and everyone sort of huffing and puffing as they're running, or, you know, I think it'd be the running that'd be the hard part. I think biking and swimming would be more distanced, but maybe have staggered start times or things like that. There's got to be ways around it.
Well, you know, we had our track meet just recently. How many people did we have at that track meet?
Approximately 200 participants.
Yeah, and we were able to do the social distancing because we had to check in 10 over here, and then you would go over here to register or whatever. Then you'd go here, and I think they did them in waves, if I'm not mistaken, because they were keeping times on them. It's like the bridge run. The bridge run's done in waves. You know, you go in that little chip when you run over, it starts your clock. So even though you're starting back here, you still can get an accurate time because it doesn't start until you cross over. So I don't think we had Coach O'Rourke. How many people do you think you saw the most people out there when we participated in that triathlon? I mean,
we were about 150 participants that first year.
Yeah. So that's not a lot for us to spread out, and I think you're gonna get the good ones that are gonna get out way ahead of everybody else, like me. They'll be way out in front of us. So I think they will, especially swimming. And we do it at a time of year where the water's still cold, and there's not any tourists here, and also it's gonna be minimal amount of impact on any of the streets or traffic. Do it on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, and that way there's not many people on the roads. And I think that swimming, when you do the swimming first in that cold water, it separates them pretty well, because some of them can really swim and some of them for freezing.
So. My yard did a lot of triathlons.
Do me a favor, come up to the microphone and just give your name and address for the record real quick.
Make me get up.
Of course. Come on, man. You're a pickleball man.
I conserve my energy, but my name is Al Bradshaw Whitmore. I live at 577 Annabelle Lane. And as far as the triathlon, the worst part of social distancing is the first event, swimming. After that, like you say, the swimming separates everybody, and you transition to the bike, and everybody's spread out by that time. And then when it comes to the running, you're not going to have to worry about it. It's only the initial event. However you want to do that, you can do it in waves or whatever. But
yeah, okay.
Of course, you can't wear a chip in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that.
Mr. Santos, I have a question for staff. Given what the recreation department has going on at this time, do you have the bandwidth staff-wise? I mean, because we are having limited rec, right, with the time of COVID. So do you have the extra, or are those people being utilized elsewhere? Do you have the bandwidth to explore this?
We have the bandwidth to explore this, certainly. And we're not exactly sure, you know, when it would be scheduled. So, I mean, a lot of the concerns about social distancing and that kind of stuff, you know, whether it's in the spring or next fall, you know, that sort of thing, we'll have to see how things play out during that time. But I wouldn't think that the social distancing issue should be too much of a problem with an event like that, but we can certainly explore that.
Seems like we did it in March or April early, because the water was still cold. I know that some people had wetsuits on when they swam. So, you know, we try and do it in our off period time, so there's not many people on the streets. You know, that's not a lot. And plus, you know, if we decide, you know, to use Paul King again, he has some of his own people that he has come with him, and so I don't think he relies heavily on staff. I think he probably, you know, maybe some. I don't know. I didn't really participate in that part of it, but he does the ones over James Island County Park, so he's an expert on doing these kind of things. So anyhow, so I just wanted to bring that up and see if it's something we can look into. Maybe we can get some information, come back next recreation committee meeting with some information, try and get with PRC. They'll be the big one, you know, to to say yes or no, I think. And it really went well. We didn't have any issues with PRC at that time, so I think if we can get a meeting with them and talk with them about it, and Isle of Palms as well, then we can come back to the report back at the next Recreation Committee meeting.
Okay, certainly.
Is that all right? Okay. All right, so let's see. Program updates.
Okay. Our program updates, I'll kind of go over some of our reports of our numbers. Again, I always preface this with the numbers that you see on our program report are 1 month lagging. So these are June numbers, but we've actually done very well. I think we've done very well. We've been able to have our programs continue on. We have strong numbers. They're certainly down from where they have been in the past. So you'll see a decrease in many of them, but certainly, a lot of people are signing up and participating and wanting to participate in our activities. And our youth sports, you see, has gone down in T-ball and in our youth track to some degree. Adult softball is also down a little bit. Tennis as well. Our rentals through June, they will start picking up now as we are beginning to rent our fields again and our facilities out for quite a while. They were closed. Swim lessons, you can see our swim lessons are down compared to the previous year, but that has a lot to do with we are only doing for the private lessons and not group lessons, and so the number of people participating in that is down significantly. Fairly steady at the senior center. Our membership is fairly steady at the senior center. However, let me take this off while I'm speaking. There. But the participation or the daily participation is down pretty significantly from what would normally be 500 plus visitors a day to around just under 100, between 80 and 100 per day. Farmers market's been going very well and continues to go well, and we are continuing to take submissions for the art submissions for the Cultural Arts and Pride programs. I want to remind everybody that the Waterfront movies will be starting this Friday at Waterfront Park, and it will be every Friday in August. We have implemented all kinds of social distancing procedures there with food vendors, and we have eliminated the music at the beginning of it, so it's not a social gathering, dancing, hangout, that sort of thing. It's more calm, you kind of get your spot, you watch the movie, and it's a bit more controlled. But I think it will be a nice event over there.
But you still are having the music.
We're not having a band beforehand. No, it's going to be the movies only. But they'll have music playing, just pre-activity music playing, but up from a DJ or recorded music. We will also up on the screen be encouraging social distancing. The pre movie slides, instead of getting your hot dog and your Coke and your popcorn and that kind of stuff, we'll have other slides and promoting other activities within MPRD as well during that time.
One second, Steve. Jim?
Okay.
Going back to the Culture Arts and Pride, I just want to thank Cecilia Brown for the feature in the Moultrie News of the new Art on the Half Shell oysters, which are now being displayed at Town Hall. Such a great images of those on the cover of the Moultrie News, and I think that program's been really successful.
Thank you, Cecilia.
That was a very nice article. That was very, very nice. The tennis court at Royal is just about complete. People are wanting to get out there and play. They just have to pass some inspections and a few things to be taken care of. But it looks beautiful. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. It looks really, really nice. I know it's going to be a very popular spot for our residents. Councilman Rambo did ask me just to provide a little information. So the numbers that I provided for you on our participation were on our participation in June. Well, in July 5th, we started registration for our fall activities. These are not finalized numbers because there's still some, it may fluctuate slightly. But we have done very, very well in our registration for our fall activities. Each one of them, most of them are down slightly. But again, it's not very significantly. Cross country went from 239 to 187. Softball Fundamental football went from, it was actually fundamental football gained one person and went from 331 to 332. So the numbers are very close. Fundamental soccer went down a couple hundred people from 656 to 454. And other ones, you know, are along those same lines. We are still having strong participation, and we're excited about that. I'm glad it's going to work out well. And I think people know that precautions are being taken. Those that feel like they need to pull out or are pulling out, and that's very understandable. And but people are still being offered a lot of opportunities to get out and participate in activities. And then the final thing I wanted to go over with you was I've given each of you the extended summer camp offerings. So with the delayed start of the school year, we have extended summer camps, approximately 3 additional weeks of summer camps. And there's all sorts of things. We have our trip camps that will be going on offered at the Jones Center. Those are the all-day camps. And then a lot of our other camps, sweets and treats, painting with masters, bricks for kids, Olympic games, yoga camps, speed and agility. Princess Dance Camp, the Speed and Agility Camp. I spoke with Councilman Santos previously about that one, and that's a really good one because we are delaying the start of our fall sports seasons. So for those that want to get out and be in a speed and agility camp prior to the start of the season, it'll be a good preparation for the beginning of fall sports to get them in shape and get them ready to go. Skateboarding, cheer camp, all sorts of great camps, and tennis camps as well. So there is an extension. We are going to be in our signups on that, and hopefully those will go well and be able to serve a lot of people who are going to be having children with them for an extra 3 weeks or so during the summer.
That's great.
Yeah, that's important. Really is good. I'm glad you did it. This looks great. All right. GM, anything else?
Nope.
All right, well, sounds good. Well, folks, if we have nothing else, we're adjourned. Thank you very much for everything.